Okay, so I just want to spend a few minutes beginning a topic. There's a new sefer which very recently was published called The Making of a Halachic Decision. It's a fascinating sefer. Unfortunately, I didn't have much time to go through much of it. By Moshe Walter.
Who is he?
I don't know. He has some very impressive haskamas. From...
I saw one haskama. That with, this is the truth. He said, I haven't read the Sefer, but I know the author is an honorable person.
So that's also worth something.
Yeah, okay.
That's also worth something. Okay, but let's just touch upon some of the ideas presented in the Sefer. Just today, very, very quick, just a few minutes to go through two different topics. One chapter, chapter 11, deals with the question of if you go to a Rav, and the Rav tells you, you have a shayla, is the meat kosher, is the meat not kosher? And he gives you a psak halacha. Are you allowed to go to another Rav, a second Rav, and ask him the same shayla?
The Gemara talks about
that. Yes, the Gemara talks about this. So the Gemara basically says that it's osur. The Gemara says some very uncomplimentary things about people who shop around for... Okay, so let's discuss. Okay, let's discuss some of the issues.
Yeah.
Now there are many variables in this very general question. I just threw out a question that's very, very vague. You have a shayla, you go to a Rav, and now I go to another Rav, and I ask him the same exact shayla. What are the variables? And every single variable makes a very big difference. Number one, does the second Rav know that the first Rav already paskin the halach? Number two. Second variable, did the first Rav paskin l'kula or l'chumra? Very big difference. Was he strict or was he lenient?
Why do you go to second Rav if he paskin l'kula?
There are some people, I don't know where you've been. I don't know where you've been.
I'll ask you questions. I know already. He comes back from either away from someplace and then he's away from vacation or whatever. And he comes and he'll ask me a question. And then I tell him what the halach is, and he says, you know, that's just what the other rabbi said. And I said, oh, son of a gun.
The other guy, the other one, Chumra is a weak.
It means he doesn't trust the opinion.
He's testing me.
Okay, let's see. So that's another very important issue. Did the first rabbi paskin l'kula or l'chumra? Is the second rabbi going to paskin now more strict or more lenient than the first opinion? Another variable is, are we dealing with something that is practical halacha l'maisa? You really want to know what to do. I'm asking you a real question. I have in front of me a piece of meat. If you don't tell me the answer, the meat's going to spoil in 3 hours. I need to know now, can I eat it? The answer is it's mutter, I'm going to eat it right now. If it's not mutter, I'm not going to eat it. It's not a theoretical question. Is this a practical question or is this a theoretical question? Another variable. You asked the rabbi this exact same shayla last year. Because you had a situation on hand. You had a shayla, my meat fell into my soup, or into the pot, whatever the case was, a utensil, whatever happened, and it's a year later, and exactly the same thing happened again. Exactly. This happens to me that this year I have a new rabbi, I'm in a new shul, I'm in a new community, where the rabbi retired, the rabbi, and I have the new rabbi. I'm now going to ask, the rabbi already told me what the halacha is last year. I'm now coming to ask a new rabbi, the exact same shayla, but in a different case, in a different application, a different situation. It's the same exact thing. So that's another variable you have to...
The same shayla of the same rav a year later.
Well, you're going to the same rabbi, so what's the purpose of going back to him again? Maybe it'll change his opinion. Okay, that's not a very significant... Let's look at these variables, then maybe we can come back and figure out what halakha will be in that case.
The last condition was that the rabbi changed
the
conditions, did not.
Exact same case, but new rabbi.
Second rabbi.
Why can't you rely on the old?
You can. Why would you want to go? That's the situation. Last time the rabbi told me it's awesome. Last year we had a rabbi. Last year you had a rabbi. The rabbi was a wonderful person. And the rabbi made aliyah. He retired. Last year you had a shiloh where something fell into the pot. And you went to the rabbi. It was on Yom Tov. And the rabbi told you, I'm sorry to tell you, it is awesome. You're not allowed to eat this dish. And that rabbi, then over the summer, he retired, he made Aliyah, Eretz Yisrael, and the Balabat, and they threw him a Gabbar party, and this person was the biggest support, he paid for the whole thing, and he's the rabbi's best friend. But unfortunately, last year, he missed out on that delicious dish that he was yearning for a whole year to eat on Yom Tov. And now it's a year later, and guess what? The exact same thing happens. They have this new young rabbi, fresh, right out of training, right out of the camps, and he's here from YU, and he's well trained, and he's ready to go, and he has to say, maybe let me try my luck again. Let me go ask the rabbi, the new rabbi. He's now the rabbi. He's the rabbi who's serving in the community. Let me ask him the shaila. Maybe he has new inside information. I'll give you some examples about these different, some very sensitive things.
The same thing as like the Kisa Shulchan Aruch disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah, and you go for one
thing. So you're touching upon some very interesting things that today, anyway, this whole issue is dealing with the halach in ancient times when people would pass from the Gemara. Like Rav Moshe Feinstein, we have a piece of the Gemara, and you have a few Rishonim. You have the Ritva, the Rashba. You go through the Goyim and the Rishonim down to Shulchan Aruch and the Rama. And then there's some things which need to be clarified. You're going down to modern day contemporary poskim. Let's put that aside. Let's deal with something which is a little fairly complex, where it's not etched in stone. You have a Shaila, and the Shaila, it's not in the Mishnah Berurah. It's not in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It's a novel question. It needs a new answer. It needs new thing. It needs a fresh mind. It needs a fresh mind. And there are shilas like that. There are shilas. There are new variables that have never been cited anywhere, at least not that's well known. And it's a question of how you look at the situation. You could look at it like this, or you could look at it like this. That's why you have a rabbi. So you have a rabbi. We're not dealing with a question of a matter of life and death, which you're not going to anyway ask. You're anyway going to go to and hear that rabbi, a young rabbi, even a seasoned rabbi, will anyway go to a very person that's recognized as being the expert on these issues. Deal with a shayla, let's say, a yerdei shayla. Is the food, it's the worst it can possibly be. It's not bar not. You and the rabbi feels confident to answer the question. Okay, yeah, I'm telling you now it's very theoretical, but there are very issues which are interesting issues which you can apply practically in your own life in dealing with these situations. Okay, if you have a shaila, the rabbi paskins a shaila. So in the first case that we discussed, a very similar case where you have the shaila and the rabbi tells you, "I'm sorry to tell you, the dish, it's not kosher. You can't eat this delicacy." You're very upset. So you go to the other shul, you go to the competition, across the street there's another rabbi, there's another shul, you want to go, that's already a whole different type of shaila. You want to hear what the rabbi has to say. I want to tell you a different case, where the rabbi last year told you that it is usur, and the rabbi has made aliyah, he's no longer in the community, and now it's a year later, and you have exactly the same shaila, but it's a different situation. A different case. I'm sorry, not the situation the same. It's a different case. Are you allowed to go to another rabbi? So all of these issues border on three reasons why it's usur to go to another rabbi. The Gemara says you're not allowed to go. We're not allowed to go. It's a Ferishu Gemara. The Gemara Masechta Nida. Masechta Nida Daf Daf Chaf Amud Beis. The end of Shas. Right before the Siyum HaShas, Klal Yisrael is learning the sugya that if a Rav, a Chacham, paskins a halacha, it is usur. The case of the Gemara is very specific where a Rav paskins something is usur. And now you go to another Rav, it's forbidden for you to go to another Rav to ask him what he thinks. Maybe he will conclude that it is mutter, yeah?
Isn't there an inyan when you go to the second Rav, basically, consciously or subconsciously, you provide...
Oh. Excellent, excellent. So you have just said the svara of the Ran. So that's what I want to touch. Let's look at the source. The source for this halacha comes from a Gemara in Masechta Nida. The Gemara Masechta Nida is very specific. He went to a Chacham. I don't call it a Rav in the Gemara. Chacham. And the Chacham decided the item is Osur. The Gemara says it is forbidden for you to go to another Rav. I shouldn't say forbidden for you, that's not the case. I'm going to be very precise because of all these nafkaminas. It is forbidden for another Chacham to decide that the item is mutter. Okay, a Chacham deem something impure or forbidden. The item in question is considered forbidden and cannot be ruled permitted by a second Chacham. You have to see the exact source, the exact words has in the back. We'll be out a lot of the, all of the Makaris and the Gemara.
Is he supposed to ask if you want someone else?
So there's another, that's another issue. prohibition. That's another issue I forgot to mention, another variable. Who is the prohibition upon? Is the prohibition upon the second chacham from issuing a ruling that is contrary to the first chacham, or is the prohibition upon the one who asked the question? It's another very important issue. Does the chacham have to inquire, has this issue already been decided? You don't have to assume that. A person comes to ask you a question, you have a right to assume that you're not being tested. You don't have to assume that people are coming to test you. Someone asks you a question, you have a right to assume that it's a fresh question. You're the first person being asked the question. So these are all of the issues. The Gemara is very limited in its scope of what the question is. Therefore, let's go through some of the reasons. There are basically three reasons given by the Rishonim for the prohibition for a second Chacham to permit, notice the words of the Gemara, to permit something which was forbidden by Chacham number one. The case of the Gemara is going Lekula. You start out that it's Aser, and now another Chacham wants to say it is Mutter. Notice the Gemara's focus is on the Chacham. The Chacham is the one that's not allowed to decide. It's not an issue of the one who asked the question. The one who asked the question, if he wants it to appear from the Gemara at face value, if he finds another Chacham that's willing to violate the Iser and willing to pass him that it's Mutter, so that's his problem. So the Chacham violated the Iser. But once the Chacham already decided that it's Mutter, I am now allowed to follow the position of the second Chacham. He got the Avera. I'm going to be the one that's going to be, will be the one that will benefit. Is that right? Is it not right? But that's not the case of the Gemara. The case of the Gemara is very specifically focusing on the Chacham number two, who's coming to issue a lenient ruling contrary to the stringent ruling of Chacham number one.
He has to know he's number two.
So that's the question. Does he know? Does he not know? Let's go through some of the issues. Issue number one, what's the reason why it's us? So this is a fascinating concept. Shavya anav shechaticha de isura. Now that's a concept in halacha that, let's say you yourself are a chacham. Make believe you yourself. I'm a chacham, I know the halacha, or make I can in neder. I make a vow, very simple. I make a neder, I will not eat this piece of meat. I will not eat this piece of bread, I will not eat this fruit. Can everyone else in the world eat the piece of meat or fruit? Absolutely. Who may not eat it? Me. Why? Because I made a vow. I made a neder, I made a shul that it's aser. Shavya anafshe chaticha di isura. I have deemed it for myself to be considered forbidden. That's a halacha. Some Rishonim want to learn that when you go to a chacham and you ask him a question, he tells you that it is aser. The prohibition issued by the chacham has the same halakhic status as if you made a neder or a shvua. Not mamish neder or shvua, but it is forbidden to the same degree. You don't have to bring a carbon for violating a shvua, and you're not going to be punished for being avoy nedarim, but it is also with the same exact guidelines as shavya anav shechaticha d'isur. Once something is forbidden, it is forbidden. L'may nafkamina. Let's say you have a neighbor, you have a friend, you're at home Friday night, and the shaila comes up, the food falls into the pot, and, oh, what are we going to do? We have to ask a shaila. So the next morning, you ask a shaila, and your neighbor, your guest, who's coming to, the only reason why he's staying in your home is because he's from out of town. He's going to a simcha in another shul. He's going to a bar mitzvah, to an ofrif in another shul. And he goes there, and he meets another major league rav, a paisek, and he asks him the shaila, and Rat Rav says to him, it's mutter. And now he comes back for shalom shudas to your home, and you both have a discussion. I asked my rav, he asked his rav. Each one did not know what they were doing.
There's no
pre-arrangement. Each one asked. So the halach is for the person, the balabas, who asked his own rav, he told him that it's osur. Shavya anaf shechaticha disura. But for the second person, the guest who went to a different shul, asked a different rav on his own, he told him it's mutter. So he is permitted to eat this piece of food because there is no conflict. Only for me is it shavya anaf shechaticha di Yisura, but with someone else, it's not Shavya Nafshe Chaticha di Yisura. That is one major approach to understand the reason of this halacha, and any time you deal with these type of shailas, that must be part of the equation. Did you accept this upon yourself as an object which is Aser? Even though, now that principle means, that means only for me it's Aser. If I make a Shavua, it's only Aser for me, it's not Aser for anyone else. That focuses the issue on the object. Notice, it's the object that's in question. We're not dealing with the rabbi, Rabbi A, Rabbi B. The rabbi A said issued a ruling that had an effect on the object. I accepted it. It is now for me forbidden, not for anyone else. Anyone else has a right to go do whatever they want, even another member of the family. Okay. That's one approach. However, the Ran has a whole new approach. He says it has nothing to do with Shavya Nafshech Hatichah the Surah. How could you bring up Shavya Nafshech Hatichah the Surah? That's the Neder, that's a Shavua, that's a whole different halachic concept which has absolutely no bearing in this case. It has to do with the magic four-letter words. Kavod. Kavod. Chaf Beis Vav Dalet. Kavod, honor. It is a bizoyon to the kavod haraf. If one rav paskins that it is osur, it's a bizoyon to the honor of this rav to go to a second rav. Forget about this going for another rabbi to issue a halacha ruling. There has to be, you know, in the secular world, in the medical field, doctors, I learned this unfortunately the hard way, doctors they are right, second opinions. They have mutual respect for other doctors. They'll never go, even if one doctor made a major mistake, right? A doctor, there was a medical error. A medical error. Another doctor will never ever say, it's a rule
right,
in the medical field, will never say, well, Dr. A made a medical error. Medical error means there's malpractice, there's a lawsuit, and there's malpractice, and there's this and that. You'll ask them outright, did this doctor make an error? So they'll say, I don't know, or they'll even go so far to say they did not make an error. They'll actually say, because that's the way, the medical field, that's the way it is. At least the way I've experienced, what I've seen, maybe I'm wrong. I've seen, because if one doctor is going to snitch on another doctor and say, yes, that doctor made an error, they are opening themselves up for revenge.
What's happening now with a friend of mine?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. One doctor will never say a boo about another doctor. That's how it is. So when it comes to Rabbanim, it's a pasuk in Yeshaya that one zona beautifies her competition. Right? They're all the zonos, they're in competition for the men that are coming to hire them. So one zona will beautify, will help make the hair of the other zona, so she should look beautiful, so she'll have some parnasa. So the Navi says, so the Rabbanim should also at least back up each other. Rabbanim shouldn't go tattletale, one rub, one chacham, one talmud chacham, we should not at least go tattletale another chacham. So there is some truth to this. Unbelievable, there is some truth to this, that one rav doesn't mess with another rav's turf. Now obviously, if this doesn't go ad kedei kach, there's mamish a mistake, chas hashom. If one rav makes a mistake and says that yiladi chazer, doesn't go like that. Even the medical field doesn't go like that. If one doctor is murdering people, another doctor is not going to back him up. Now of course there are limitations, but when you're dealing with southern witches halacha, and there's reasonable room to say a svara this way and that way, even though you strongly disagree, and you have all of the proofs on your side, it's not a kavod for another rav for you to disagree. It's none of your business. The rabbi paskin that it's usher, there's grounds to paskin that it's usher, that's it. And therefore, if it is forbidden for you to make a halakha, now that means, not only is it usher for the rabbi to issue the ruling, it is usher for you to ask.
That's the point.
That's a major nafkamina. Major nafkamina. The prohibition to ask is upgraded to a whole new level. In the first approach, that the prohibition has to do with Shavya Nafshech Hatichah D'Yisura, so then what you're doing is you're setting up a Rav to be, it's Lifne Iver. That's the terminology used by the Poskim. By you asking another Rav to Paskin on a question that already has been decided, you're violating Lifne Iver Lo Sitein Michshol.
Second Rav is an innocent bystander.
Exactly. So he's going to Paskin differently, and then he's going to find out this was already decided, and then it turns out that when one Rabbi Paskin, he went and violated this halacha of once a Rabbi Paskin something is usher, it's not his fault, it's an accident, it's a sheg, it's an oinus, but he was Nichshol to some degree in violating this halacha Masech Nida, and you, the one who asked the question, was over on Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Nichshol. But if you learn the whole halacha issue is according to the Ran, it's then of Kavod Haraf. So then the issue is not a matter of Lifnei Iver, you mamish being mevaza your rav by going and asking a second shayla. That's a second approach. A third reason given, and this is a major topic, is lois siskoididu. We have a principle in halacha, which literally means that Torah says, the Rachman, when a person dies, don't make a gash on your forehead or on your hair. On your forehead, it used to be an ancient custom of the Amorim that if someone died, they would rip out their hair and they would cause their head to bleed. Chazal take this pasuk of Loises Goydidu, do not make a gash. There should not be in the Jewish people agudos, agudos. There's only one agudas Yisrael. There's no two agudas. The tziri agudas Yisrael, the poli agudas Yisrael. There's only one. Lo's agudos, agudos. There's only allowed to be one halacha. You're not allowed to have multiple toros in klal Yisrael. So if Rav number two is going to pass on the second ruling, that's contrary to the first ruling. So some are going to follow one way, some are going to follow the other way. You have violated an iser de'oraisa of loy sis goy didu. Now these are the three major reasons, and the Ramah and the Shach argue what is the ikar. The Ramah and the Shach don't make any mention of the third reason. The third reason of Leisis Koydidu, which is very interesting, because Leisis Koydidu Bichlal is a very vague area in Halacha, which I want to get to a little bit soon, in a few moments, to discuss just the Rashi Prakim. It's really a more modern type of Shaila Leisis Koydidu. And the only thing they focus on in the first two reasons is it because of the second reason of the Kavod Harav, or is it because of the Neder Lashavia Nafshech Aticha Di Yisur? What will be one major Nafkamina? Major Nafkamina is if the first Rav Paskins that it's Mutter, permitted. And now you want to go ask a Shaila by a second Rav, maybe the second Rav will Paskin that it's Asa.
No, it's because you don't trust the first Rav.
Why did you go into him to begin with if you don't trust him? So if the first Rav is an accepted authority, it's very, very common, this situation. The first Rav is a good man, he's a well respected person, and he's a big enough Talmud Chacham, and he has enough experience, and he's a Makel, because in Rabbanus you have to be very Makel. That's the Metzias. All the people only come with the Yeshiva Shiloh because they're desperate.
You don't have to be a Talmud,
because they're desperate. And Rabbanim have a lot of experience. A lot of it, you don't have to necessarily be very learned. You have experience. And he has experience, and he passes that it is mutter. And now you want to go to another Rav for a second opinion because libay naikfa, your heart bothers you. You really feel that there's rooms to be machmir. So if you learn like the Mahalik, then it's because of Shavi Nafshech Haticha Disur. There was no Shavi Nafshech Haticha Disur. It was never forbidden. The whole issue of the Gemara, the case of the Gemara is where you're going from Osir to Mutter, not where you're going from Mutter to Osir. But if the issue is because of Kavod, then this is a very, very big problem. Now, the answer to this question, there is no answer, because there are so many variables, and there are so many different opinions. Mr. Merul has pointed out something that many Poskim say that Bizman has said this whole issue doesn't apply. Because this whole issue only applies at the time of the Gemara. Time of the Gemara when you had Talmidechem of a caliber where they were really original, in their approach to the side halacha. Our times you very rarely have the originality that is required to violate these halachas. So, Rabbanim are passing things. One is telling you like what it says in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, and one is telling you like it says in the Mishnah Berurah. One is telling you a psak, an old psak from Rav Yashiv, and one is telling you the psak of Rav Moshe. They argue about this already. This has been argued about for decades. It's an old shaila. So it's not to be viewed in our times, in modern times, as a disgrace to the kavod. Well, it's very delicate. The kavod is something which you got to be very careful when yes and when not. So many poskim say that today it's not really viewed as much of an issue as it appears from the Gemara, and as long as it's done in a respectable way, then it is mutter. Now, what happens is a very tough question when you go to a Rav to explore the issues. I'm not going to the Rav for a psak halach. I know it's a very complicated shaila. Do we pull the plug? Do we not pull the plug? I know there are different opinions. I know everybody says one thing and one says someone else. What do you do? I'm not going. I'm going to a major league posek. I know what he's going to tell me, his opinion. He's very stark. But I'm not really going to him for a final decision. I'm going to hear his side.
Consultation.
And then I'm going to go to another Rav. I don't want to hear his side. And I feel I have enough knowledge. They're too legitimate. And based upon the way I feel, who am I to feel anything, I'm going to do what I want to do. Are you allowed to do that? Difference of opinion. Some say yes, some say not. Many people do this. They find this. Many posts can say, there's nothing wrong with this. Because it's not begeder, why? Because they're working be'ikr with the yisod of shavi anaf shechaticha di yisura. I'm not going to a rav with the understanding that what he tells me I'm going to do, I'm going to accept. So it's never entered into the realm of shavya anaf shechaticha di yisur. Shavya anaf shechaticha di yisur is where, what case? I go to, what's the halacha? It is usr. Okay, it's usr. I go home, I have accepted it. It's usr. I then call up my nephew. What? The rabbi told you it's usr. He told you, and you accepted it. I'll take you to another rav. I know he doesn't know what he's talking about. There are other issues, and that's not what we pass him on as there. But I have already accepted. He's my rabbi. He told me. I'm very loyal to him. He told me, and I accepted. You have already entered into the world of Shavya Naf Shechaticha Di Surah. It's not so simple. You're allowed to go to another rabbi and he's a Shaila.
Yeah. If you go to Rabbi A and he says it's awesome, are you allowed to ask him why?
Of course. Of course you can ask him. I will tell you. That's another Shaila. I'll tell you, I don't have time to answer you.
How about a restaurant when you have a hechsher?
Of course, as long as you accept.
Sometimes they have two of them.
So what's the problem?
Yeah,
so you have
a hechsher. Hechsher, that means they're going for a second opinion.
They have it. Okay, that's... They're a check on each other. Each one is a thorn. Each one's a thorn in the eyes of the other. They keep each other in check.
That's true.
Okay, so this idea, when you know the rules...
You can press and say, this one's, we are now responsible for.
Okay, when you know the rules, it has a whole different meaning. Have you accepted it? If you work with the Mahalach, Ashavi Nafshach Atikha Di Surah, that is only in a situation where it's good enough for me. Certain trials don't mean, certain questions in life aren't so important. Is the meat kosher, not kosher? So if the meat's not kosher, okay, it's fine. I'll get by. It's $10, $5, $20, $50. I'll live with it. And I go to my rabbi, he asks me, tells me, I'm sorry, it's treif. And that's it, you accept it. And you go home, and coming there to the meal is your nephew, and he's the most brilliant Talmud Chacham, and he starts straying you a cup, and he runs off to another rabbi. Shavya nafsha chaticha di surah. It's a done deal. Then you have very serious life and death issues. I know what this rabbi is basically going to tell me. I know what he holds. I know where he comes from. I know where he comes from. I know he's going to tell me, don't pull the plug. That's not what I really want to hear. But I want to hear what he has to say. I want to hear. I'm not going there to accept his opinion. I'm going there as a consultation. That appears to many posts as 100% legitimate. It's mutter. And it's not a bizarre, especially if you're basically telling in advance, I'm coming here.
I want to come in for next
time.
I had a situation with a rabbi, and I won't say who it was, that I believe sucked. He didn't want to pasuk in the shaila.
Yeah.
And I think he said to me, I really don't want to pasuk in the shaila. Maybe you should ask somebody else. I really think in his heart of hearts, he was going to say it's usher. But he didn't want to tell me it's usher. He didn't. No, not guts. He knew what he wanted to say. But he'd rather, if I'm looking for a cooler, because that's really what...
Right.
He also didn't want to get out.
I had the same situation. I had a very, very difficult question. And I asked my brother who was in Lakewood. In Lakewood, there's some very big poskim. So I asked my brother, please go ask the question, find out an answer to the shaila. So he went to the biggest posek in this area in Lakewood, and he said it's a very difficult question. And this posek is known to paskin everything. He will give you an answer. He is like one of the. He'll give you an answer no matter what. Very well accepted. Very well respected. He says it's a very difficult question. I have to think about it. So he came back to him a week later, and he said to him, I was shocked, he said to him, I don't want to paskin. Ask someone else. Go to someone else. My brother's mouth dropped, because this is like unheard of. Such a shaila. He's probably so curious. Who's a shaila? I can't tell you the shaila. Not a big deal. It's not such a big deal. So my brother was like, telling me, like, why do you want to paskin? Is it because he's going to, I think, just the opposite. He was going to tell me that it's mutter. What I wanted to do, it's mutter. but he's afraid of the repercussions from the community.
That's right. He'll get out.
He'll get out. He has such a big name. He's so well known. And you know, he's very smart because anyway, I'm shopping for a cooler because I have no choice. That's really what it's all about. I have really no choice. I'm just looking to hang it on someone. I'm looking to hang it on someone's name.
I don't
want to
get involved.
So anyway,
the Rav is very smart. He figured it out. He figured it out. And he realizes, there's no choice. You have to be Mekel. There is no choice. I don't know. He just didn't want...
He believed to tell the second Rav, like you just said.
Oh, so that's... That all...
By so-and-so...
So that goes back. So that goes back into the shayla.
Coming to me now.
I don't tell you the story. So I went to another Rav. Went to another Rav, a person who's an expert on this issue, and he right away passed me. It was a complicated answer, but he had guidelines exactly what to do, how to deal with the situation. It was very interesting. So it was an experience of going to different rabbanim to hear what they have to say. But I had with my parents and with life and death issues. These are very complicated shilas, what to do. And I could tell you stories. You know, the hospital, it's a very big issue today in the hospitals. They're obsessed with this. They're literally obsessed with this. And this goes, into politics and Obamacare and all these different issues. It's the tough shilas. Everyone has an agenda, and Rabbanim have... different opinions, and the truth is you can't really pass unless you really, really know hands-on what's going on. And every case is so different. You can't generalize. You can't say, generally speaking, this is halacha. It's not true. There is no generally speaking. Every case is so unique and so different. There's no one answer that fits all in any shape or form. All right, going back to this question, it's so the matter of kavod and the matter of Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Isura. Okay, now, there are other variables. Let's say the second Rav is a much greater Talmud Chacham, much older, much more respected than the first Rabbi. So then, it's not so much of a lack of Kavod. Because the second Rabbi, or maybe it is, you can't generalize.
Can you ask the first Rabbi, can I go to someone else?
So then you shouldn't have gone to...
You can't generalize. It all depends. It all depends on...
Gone to the first one.
Yes.
But you should have seen that too.
I remember a story. Someone I know, it was a young girl. She was going, she had a dilemma, she should go to medical school. She wanted to go to medical school. She was very, very religious. Very, very tumistic. And she wanted to ask her Rav. So her father was screaming and said to her, okay, you can go ask the Rav. And the Rav, but you're only going to ask a consultation. You're not going to ask him the halacha what to do. Halacha, because he knew the Rav would tell her, "Don't go." That's the world he lived in. He lived in that world. And the father was set that she's going to medical school no matter what. And there's a very tenuistic based Yaakov girl. I'm going to ask the Rav the Shah. What does he think I should do? Should I go? Are there halachic shaylos, the Chil Shabbos, and all these issues? So the father was telling him, you're only going there to hear what he has to say. You're not going there for a psak halacha. Remember that. Then was she, I don't know what happened there. I don't think she ended up going. Not because of the rabbi, but these are very interesting issues. Okay, there are more issues, but you know what? Let's stop here. We'll pick this up another time. We'll go deeper into these issues.